Good morning, Todd Zwillick here, filling in for John this week, and Celeste is here with me. Well, the U.S. Senate overcame a filibuster hurdle yesterday in extending unemployment benefits to millions of jobless Americans after weeks of delay by Republicans, who point out that the bill does send unemployment benefits to unemployed workers, but that it also adds to the federal deficit. The Senate voted 60-40 to end debate on the measure. A final vote could come as soon as today. But as unemployment continues to hover around 9.5%, we want to ask the question, where have all those jobs gone? 3 million jobs in the last 2 years. Yesterday, we started the conversation with you, our listeners. Tyrone Thorpe from Baltimore called 877-8-MY-TAKE with his story.
I was a relay operator for AT&T, and I lost my job because Maryland wanted too much for its relay operators. So AT&T didn't bill in the contract, and the relay center moved from Baltimore to Frostburg, which is 120 miles away, which is too far for me as a person with no car and no license.
And no job now, unfortunately, for Tyrone Thorpe. Joining us now is Bill Galston, a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution, and also Kim Motter, who lost his job in 2009. Kim, what were you doing when you lost your job?
I was a graphics designer for a legal firm.
And where did your job go?
Well, my job went to West Virginia.
Where in West Virginia?
Wheeling, West Virginia. The outsource firm that I was working for has a business office in West Virginia, and when the recession hit, they moved all of the what you'd call back office jobs in metropolitan areas to this office in West Virginia, where they can hire people for about two-thirds of what they would pay in New York and San Francisco
and other places. And where are you living now, Kim?
I'm in New York.
In New York. Okay. Well, we hear so much about people's jobs being sent overseas, India, China, elsewhere. That wasn't the case in your case. Moving to West Virginia wasn't an option?
Well, moving to West Virginia was not an option for me. I've got school-age kids whose lives are here. It would be really disruptive for them.
Right. So that's a job exported nonetheless, even if it's just down to West Virginia from New York. Kim Motter, stay with us for a moment, if you will. Bill Galston from the Brookings Institution. Where do you see American jobs going, besides the ones that have gone up in smoke? Why has there been so little job growth in the country?
Well, I actually think that jobs going up in smoke is a big part of the problem. Let me give you an analogy. You visit your doctor, and he tells you you're going to be in big trouble unless you lose weight. So you go on a diet, and you lose 20 pounds. Somebody else didn't gain those 20 pounds. They're just gone. And a lot of jobs have simply disappeared because businesses have figured out, under the spur of necessity, how to do more with less. And as long as the economy is as slow as it has been in the past year and a half or so, they're not going to be too quick to add those jobs back.
So we hope that businesses getting leaner and meaner, to use the weight loss analogy, eventually will lead to them hiring more, but maybe not. Bill, here's a listener from New Jersey touching on whether making too much money can actually hurt people in this economy.
My name is Barbara LaPointe. I am a diagnostic medical sonographer, also known as an ultrasound tech. I'm also a registered x-ray tech, and I was laid off 2 weeks ago. I was replaced by a young lady who was fresh out of school. I'm under the impression that they are trying to save money wherever they can, and I can be replaced by someone who gets half of my salary.
Bill, Barbara LaPointe is an older worker with a higher salary. Is she an endangered species as businesses get leaner, meaner?
Oh, boy, there's no question about the fact that this squeeze has been particularly tough on older workers. And people in their 40s and 50s who have worked hard, upgraded their skills, and increased their salaries over time are indeed at risk. Businesses are desperately trying to do whatever they can to cut costs because it's the only way they can remain profitable when demand remains as sluggish as it has been. They're squeezed as much as the people they're letting go, unfortunately.
Bill, you know, we have had these reports, especially recently, that many corporations are sitting on collectively a pool of about $750 billion that they're waiting for the economy to improve, and just holding on to these cash pools as kind of their safety device, rather than the picture of corporations that aren't making the profit margins. There's also corporations that are simply, they say, being as safe as they can be instead of hiring back the workers they laid off.
That's true, but a lot of these corporations had near-death experiences over the past few years. The credit system seized up almost completely, and it's still not very robust. And so businesses that used to run on low cash margins and relied on their ability to borrow short-term money whenever they needed now feel the need to have those reserves to protect themselves against the possibility that the credit system will seize up again. So this is a very complex situation. And businesses, unfortunately, are not going to be very quick to liberate those funds unless and until demand picks up, either at home or overseas, which is one reason why President Obama has been talking more about increasing exports.
Right. Recently. Well, short credit businesses getting leaner and meaner. We want to keep the conversation going with you, our listeners. You've been telling us a great deal about your work experiences, and we want to hear more about where your own job has gone if you've lost it after you've lost it. Mikey from Salt Lake City says, I am securely employed, but my two brothers both lost their jobs to corporate greed and malfeasance. One brother lost his job with a telecom firm when all of its employed technicians were told they could become contractors or would be laid off. He naturally chose to become a contractor. Then the company fired all of its newly minted contractors, making them ineligible for unemployment insurance and saving itself having to make unemployment insurance payroll contributions. Well, tell us your story. That's at 8778-MY-TAKE. We want to hear from you. Kim, what's next for you? You hitting the pavement to look for a job? What's next?
I'm looking for work, and I'm also going back to school to learn web design to make myself more marketable than I am now.
Some job retraining for Kim, another issue we've been talking about all this week. Kim Motter here in New York, whose job was exported, even if just to West Virginia. Good luck to you, sir. And Bill Galston, senior fellow at the Brookings Institution. Gentlemen, thank you both for joining us.
My pleasure.